You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
For those who don't know me, my name is Ben, and I'm the pastor of Sun Life Church. It's always a joy to open up the word of God with you. I heard of a story, a funny story of three small churches in country Texas. There was an Anglican church, a Catholic church, and a Baptist church. And they all had the same problems, these pesky squirrels infesting their church building. So anyhow, the Anglican church thought, we'll come together for a time of prayer and ask God for wisdom. And they came to the conclusion that these squirrels were predestined by God and they should not interfere with the sovereign will of God. And they left the squirrels alone. Now the Catholic Church also gathered and they prayed, asking God what to do with these squirrels. And they thought, well, who are we to interfere with God's wonderful creation? So they carefully picked up the squirrels, moved them a few kilometers away from the church. But 3 days later, the squirrels came back. Now, the Baptist Church, they had the best plan. They had the greatest idea to get rid of these squirrels. So what they did was they baptized every squirrel, right? They registered them as members of the local church. And the only time they saw these squirrels would have been Christmas and Easter. Now, I tell that joke to say that whether you are a Christian or not, you would know that Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. And Easter is the death of Jesus Christ. Like, whether you know Jesus or exploring the faith, you are here knowing that this day has to do with some Jewish man who was crucified on the cross and he died on this day. But there is a twist because it's known as Good Friday. I mean, you think about it, if someone died, it should be Sorrow Friday or Sad Friday or Black Friday. But why Good Friday? I read somewhere that the country of England have already made plans. When the Queen passes away, they have decided to have 12 days with no comedy shows or program broadcast so that the entire country of England would be in silence and mourning when the Queen passes away. Because when you love someone, like you love your leader, and your leader dies, you want to be mourning. You want to be in silence. Now, if you don't love your leader, right, well, when that person or that king or queen passes away, you want to celebrate. And surely the Christian, we love Jesus. We should be mourning. We should be sad. This should be known as Sorrow Friday or Sadden Friday or Black Friday. But why Good Friday? And what's so good about today? Why is today the most important weekend for Christians? Well, what I want to do is for the next moment that I have, I want to address that question and explain to you why this is good. And for some of us, this may be the first time you've realized why today is good. And for some of us, it's a reminder that today is a good day. See, the reading that our brother Mark read, it was the gospel reading when Jesus was on the cross about to die. In Mark's account, if you remember the reading, there was a period of 3 hours of darkness. From noon, 12 o'clock to 3 p.m., there is darkness. Now, for us to understand what's going on, we actually have to go back to the book of Exodus. Now, in the book of Exodus, now, let's do a bit of quiz here. When God would deliver his people out of Egypt, God sent some plagues to, I guess, bring confusion and frustration towards the Egyptian. Could someone bravely and boldly shout out how many plagues did God send? 10. Someone said 7. Someone said 8. It's 10, all right? And we know, we should know, most of us would know, whether you've read the book of Exodus or you've watched, you know, DreamWorks animation, The Prince of Egypt, that the last plague, the 10th plague, was the one where God would bring judgment upon the firstborn sons. The angel of death would come and bring judgment upon the firstborn sons of the Egyptian. And anyone who managed to get the blood of a sheep or a lamb and smear it on the doorframe, the angel of death would pass over that household and no judgment be upon that household. Now, you may know that. You may know that, you may not know that. But if you watch the Prince of Egypt, you could remember that last plague. Now, let me ask this question. Can someone remember the ninth plague? The one before that. For a chocolate egg or a chocolate bunny who wants to give a shout out? Darkness. I think, is that Kate? Oh, Kate. I love Kate. Darkness. You know, 3 days of thick darkness that brought confusion, frustration, and these Egyptians did not know what was going on. Can you see what's happening in the gospel? That just before Jesus would die, before judgment, there is darkness. 3 hours of darkness. This is a replay of what was taking place in Exodus, because the events of Exodus was pointing towards this moment on the cross, but there's a twist. This time, judgment was not on the first sons of the Egyptian, but judgment was on the Son of God, Jesus himself. This time, we know that Jesus would give up his son for you and I. You know, John 3:16, a Bible verse that most Christians would know, for God so loved the world that he gave up. The giving up of the Son is to let the Son die. So today is about the death of God's only Son, so that whoever believes in him, put your faith in him, put your faith in what he has done on the cross. The Bible says that you shall not perish, but have eternal life. So just before Jesus would die, there is darkness. And now he begins to cry out in Aramaic. He says, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 35, when some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. The text tells us that right now, Jesus is upon a cross. You know, the crucifixion, right, was actually a warning as well. The crucifixion was only reserved for non-Roman citizen. If you were a Roman citizen, you would not be crucified. You'd be decapitated. But if you're a non-Roman citizen, a Jew, and if you disrespect the Roman Empire, they will crucify you. It's a slow process of stripping you naked, whipping you so all there is just flesh and bone, lifting you on a wooden cross so that you would die a slow death with the, listen carefully, with the desire of shaming you and setting a warning to everyone else not to mess around with the Roman Empire. So what they would do is they would actually watch this death of Jesus. Anyone who was crucified, it was an opportunity to watch and just make sure that's a lesson for our children or anyone. And the bystanders in the text, they're watching. And I would imagine some of the bystanders watching this might have heard of the teachings of Jesus. I would imagine some of the bystanders would have received the healing miracles of Jesus or witnessed the miracles of Jesus. I would even say some of the bystanders followed Jesus. But at this point in time, this is just another criminal hanging on the cross. They're watching him. He could not be the chosen one. He couldn't be the Messiah, because if he's the Messiah, why is he hung on the cross? The Jewish faith knew that if you were hung on a cross, you're a curse from God. So this couldn't be God's chosen one. So they looked and they watched, and someone said, hey, he's calling out to Elijah. You see, Aramaic, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. Eloi is God. Eli is Elijah. So what happened was that some of these bystanders heard from a distance Eli and not Eloi. Because Eli is Elijah, who was this great prophet who lived 900 years before Jesus. And they had this thinking, Jewish people had this thinking that if you were in trouble and you needed rescuing, you cry out to Elijah. And Elijah would come and he would rescue you. And so the Jewish people had this thinking. So they thought that Jesus needed rescuing. And they thought that Jesus was crying out to Elijah. Oh, Elijah, come and rescue me. That's why in verse 36, if you go there with me, you notice that someone grabbed a sponge, dipped it in what? Wine vinegar, placed it by the lips, the mouth of Jesus to keep him alive. They want to keep him alive for another few hours. You know why? To witness Elijah returning. That's what they wanted to do. They want to see Elijah come back and rescue this man hung on the cross. Bystanders who did not know what was going on. But I haven't answered the question why today is good. I've just explained to you that there were some confused bystanders who thought that Jesus was just another ordinary man about to die, crying out, Elijah, Elijah, why have you forsaken me? Can you come and rescue me? Quickly get some wine, some vinegar, keep him alive for another 2-3 hours, and maybe we can witness the miracle of salvation from Elijah. That's what the text is saying. I'm not making that up. But let's read a bit further on, towards the end of the text, in verse 39. And when the centurion, a Roman guard, who stood there in front of Jesus, he saw how Jesus died. He said, surely this man was the Son of God. So now we see another character in the scene. He's a Roman centurion. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile, most likely an Italian. He doesn't know the God of the Old Testament. He didn't know the prophecy of the Messiah. He's not a follower of Jesus Christ. He's not part of God's people. He's an outsider. He had a job to do. The job was simple. Watch this man die, and when he died, take him off the cross, report it to the authorities that he's dead, and then someone can go and bury him in a tomb. That was his job. But what do we see in the text? This outsider, this Roman centurion with his mouth said, surely this is the Son of God. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, this is the first time a human being said those words, this is the Son of God. Before this point, no one has ever said that with their own mouth except this Roman centurion. This is the Son of God, which means that this is the Messiah. This is the chosen one. This was the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament, the one who would come to rescue God's people, the one that Isaiah 53 was talking about, that who was pierced for your transgression, crushed for your iniquity, punished for your peace, so that through him you would be saved. An outsider with his mouth said, this is the Son of God. The bystanders, confused, thinking that Jesus needed rescuing. The Roman centurion said that Jesus is the rescuer. The text tells us clearly the first person who confessed that Jesus was the Son of God wasn't a Jew, wasn't a disciple, wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ, but a Roman centurion. An outsider, a Gentile, who confessed that this is the Son of God. That's why today is good. It's the joy of knowing that everyone can come into a believing knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Everyone. That's the good news. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how bad you think you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter if you think that you're so good that the society looks at you and worship you, or you have so many followers on social media, or you're a person of influence, or how successful you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter of your background, whether you come from a dysfunctional, broken family, or you come from a perfect family. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated, if you are working and having a great job or you're looking for work. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a king, a queen, or a prostitute. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you feel that you're an outsider, that you're so far from God and God wants nothing to do with you. It doesn't matter. It's good news is because God says it's for everyone. That everyone with their mouth can say that He is the Messiah. That He is the one who came to rescue me. I can open up my mouth and say those words that He is my God. He is my Savior. That's why it's good news. I don't know about you, but the Bible is very clear that every time we do something wrong, we should be the one hung on a cross. Have you ever done something you're not proud of? I know I have. I'm pretty sure the person next to you have. They won't admit it, but I guarantee you they have. Have you ever not do something you should do? I know I have. I guarantee you the person next to you have done that as well. Like, we're all broken. This is a broken church. There's no one perfect here. In fact, if you're perfect, you shouldn't be here. The word for perfection is glorification, which means you're dead. You're with Jesus. So you're still alive, you're broken. On this side of heaven, we're all broken. Every one of us here have done something where we would stand before a righteous and holy God. We are in trouble and we should be the one upon that cross. You know why it's so good today? Because He took all our imperfections and all our brokenness and all our failures and all our sins and all our mistakes, and He placed it on His shoulders so that He died the death that we ought to die, and we are credited His righteousness. You know, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, which means He was perfect, to be sin. Wow. So that in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Who's done all the work? God. For you and for me. That's why I love today. Today reminds me that the Christian faith is all about the work of God. It's the grace of God. God has done everything for us to receive Jesus. It's not based on what we have done in the past or what we will do tomorrow or the future. It's based on everything He has done for us this day, some 2,000 years ago, that He took all our issues and all our brokenness and all our failure, and He placed it on His shoulders, and He died that death for us, and we are credited His righteousness. And it's for everyone. And I want you to know that, because I see in the text a Roman centurion, someone who is so far from God, who said, yes, He is the Son of God. The same account in Luke's gospel, the centurion glorified the Father. I love that. That means that every one of us here this morning, we can glorify the Father by saying that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the one who's done everything for me so that I can receive Him. I love today because it's the one day where we all know why we're here. Because we're all going to remember what He did for us on the cross. To remind ourselves that we're not perfect, that we are broken. And He took all our imperfection, all our mistakes, all our sin, and He forgave it once and for all. It's finished. And I love that. I don't deserve that, but I receive that. Oh, it's good. I'm so messed up. I'm so broken as your pastor, but He still died for me. Oh, it's good. There's nothing perfect about me, but He's perfect. Oh, it's so good. I know tomorrow I'm going to mess up. I'll lose my temper. I'll have certain thoughts that I'm not proud of, but He still loves me because He died for me. Oh, it's so good. I know that I should be the one who should be nailed on that cross, stripped naked, beaten, bruised, but He did it for me. Oh, it's good. I know that I could not live the life that He wants me to live, the life that is pure, because that's what He desires. I can't do that. Jesus did it for me. Oh, that's good. That's why today is a good day. That's why today is Good Friday. It's Good Friday because a good God died for a broken humanity, and we get to be part of His family. And for some of us, maybe right now you feel you are so far from God. Like you go, God would never want anything to do with me. God wouldn't want to love me. I mean, what I did last night, I'm not proud of. Even the drive to this church here, I lost my temper and I had to take a deep breath before I walk through the front doors. God wouldn't want anything to do with me. Yes, He does. He's relentlessly pursuing you because He loves you. He died for you. And like the Roman centurion, an outsider, a Gentile, you too can say, He is the Son of God. I want Him in my life. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their head. And I'm going to give us an opportunity to receive Jesus. Maybe this morning, you've realized that, yep, you are so far from Him. And you feel that, yeah, I'm the outsider. I'm the one who didn't want anything to do with Jesus. But today, something is happening inside of me and I've realized that I am so broken and I'm so far from Him that I want Him in my life. I want to welcome Him into my life. I want you to know this, friends, is that when you receive Jesus, it's not based on how long you've gone to church or how many message or sermon you've managed to stay awake and listen to. It's not about if you're serving or you're tithing. No, you can receive Jesus when you first hear about Him. You can receive Jesus today because His grace is for you right now. So I'm going to ask this question. It's an invitation for anyone to say, yeah, I want Jesus in my life. Yeah, I want to be like the Roman centurion who said that He is the Son of God. If that is you this morning, you've come here or you've been here for some time, but you've never said, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I want Jesus in my life. This is a great day. Good Friday is a great day to receive Jesus into your life. If that is you this morning, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to get you to come forward. I want to know who I'm praying for. All you have to do is lift up your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, this day I want Jesus in my life. So if that is you, with all eyes closed, you raise your hands right now so that I know who I'm praying for. If you say, yep, I need Jesus, I want Jesus in my life, just lift up your hands so I can see you and I can pray for you. Yep, I see one hand, thank you. Anyone else says, yep, I need Jesus. Yep, I see two hands, anyone else? Anyone else? Because this is a great day. This is a great day to receive Jesus. Because I tell you right now, there's no better day than today to say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior and I need Jesus in my life right now because I'm so broken and I'm so far from Him. This is a great day. Don't miss this opportunity. He loves you. He died for you. He is for you, never against you. If that is you, you raise your hands right now because I want to pray. Anyone else says, yep, I want Jesus in my life. Anyone else? God is good. So I'm going to pray for those individuals who raise up their hands. And I want everyone to repeat after me. And if you raise your hand, I want you to really mean this prayer. Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son to die for me. I am a sinner, but today I'm set free. Thank you for loving me. Help me to live for you. I receive you as Lord and Savior. My life is yours today. Bless me, help me, use me for your glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. I want to say to those individuals, you made the best decision. We want to give you something to read, and we want to see you grow in the knowledge that Jesus is loving you. He cares about you. He wants you to keep exploring His love and His grace. Friends, what we're going to do now is we're going to move into a time of Holy Communion where we now really engage with our minds and our hearts with what Jesus has done for us. At Sun Life Church, we practice open communion. And what we mean by that is this, is that if you feel comfortable, we want you to participate with us. But if you feel a bit awkward and this doesn't mean much to you and it's a bit strange, then please let the element pass by. This is a great time to slow down and remember our Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for us on that cross. So I'm going to invite the welcome team now to hand out the elements. And as you receive it, I want you to do something. I want you to be upstanding as you receive it. And I want you to be upstanding and take this moment to remember Jesus. Take this moment to maybe repent, confess, talk to Him. For those joining us online, this is a great time for you to also go to the kitchen and grab some juice or some cordial or a bread or a biscuit. And you partake as well. Be upstanding as well. Remember Jesus in this time. And right now, with the Holy Spirit is revealing areas that you need to confess and repent, take this opportunity to confess and repent. Tell Him that you are sorry. Tell Him that you need His help to get by. So let's remember Jesus right now. Thank you, God. Sun Life Church, remember Him. Picture Him on the cross for you. It's a good day because He died for you, for me. We are forgiven. He's done everything for us. On the night Jesus was betrayed, He gathered the disciples in a room and He took bread and He broke the bread. He thanked the Father and He said that this is My body for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So will you now please take the bread, the waffle, and let's eat this together and remember the body of Christ for us. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup. He says, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. When you drink it, do it in remembrance of Me. For when you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He returns." Shall we drink together? Church, let's pray. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. It's on the screen. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours now and forever. Amen. Let's worship. Let's sing. We sing to our risen Lord because on Sunday, we're back here. He's alive. So church, will you sing with me? Let's remember Him. Let's sing right now.